Our text this morning is going to be found in Deuteronomy, and I'll put that up on the screen in just a moment. So it's preparing for this morning. I was thinking about a stark contrast that exists between what some will see as a beautiful or an ornate plant or flower. And in fact, it caused me, Alan, to think about your home country, New Zealand, where my family and I had the opportunity to travel last Christmas. And I think this is a very close cousin, if not just a variation of the hyacinth. Now, I'm not a horticulturist or a gardener, and so if I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. But as we were driving in New Zealand, and if I had the picture available, I would have put it up. Go ahead, second one, that'd be great. So, but as we were driving in this one particular stretch in New Zealand, you would see these amazingly colorful and beautiful flowered plants that were just as far as the eye could see, and it was picturesque, and that's why we stopped and took many, many pictures. And you saw them in different parts of the country and along the mountainside and open fields and close to rivers and lakes, and they were in full bloom and they were beautiful. And yet there's a contrast, because amidst what we might think is the beauty of this particular species of plant, its sister or its cousin or maybe just the water hyacinth, actually is a weed and creates great problem. And so I wanted to show you, we're going to go back here. So I want to show you what one single hyacinth looks like. So we're going to go to number one. So here's what a water hyacinth looks like. And it's just one little plant. And actually, it starts, obviously, it's very, very small. In fact, the leaves are only the size of your fingernail. It's just one. And so we might look at that and we see just one. And we go, okay, well, it's just this plant. Now, this is the water hyacinth. And it starts out like this. And to some, like I said, it's prized as an ornamental flower. It sports six petal flowers, ranging from purplish blue to lavender to pink. You can find it floating on the surfaces of ponds in warm climates around the world. The water hyacinth is also one of the most productive. So it was really interesting as I was looking at some of the information about what this plant really is all about, and found that it's one of the most productive plants on earth. Its reproductive rates astonish botanists and ecologists, how quickly this can spread. Although a single plant can produce as many as 5,000 seeds, the method it prefers for colonizing in a new area is to grow by doubling itself, sending out short runner stems that become daughter plants. If a pond's surface is fairly still and undisturbed, the water hyacinth may cover the entire area of water in 30 days. Talk about rapid growth. On the first day, it's barely noticeable. In fact, for the first few weeks, you have to actually look very hard to find this plant. On day 15, it will cover perhaps a single square foot of the pond's surface. So it's now starting to reproduce, it's starting to grow, and you're starting to see that reproduction. Only in 15 days. On the 20th day, you may happen to notice a dense little path of floating foliage about the size of a small mattress. So you can see that even up to day 20, it still remains fairly contained and fairly small. However, on the 29th day, one half of the pond's surface will be open water, but one half, the other half, will be full of this plant. On the 30th day, one day later, the water hyacinth will blanket the entire pond. So there you can see it continues to spread, and that is where it will go. And I thought about the amazing and stark contrast that there is to something that we might see as beautiful and something that starts so small, and we look at it and we see the bloom of its flower and we think, oh, this is just lovely. It's picture worthy. But like the weed that sin is, it can quickly reproduce a path that leads to destruction. This coverage of waterways creates huge problems for people groups who rely on passing through these waterways. I saw pictures as I was searching through different images of this problem that the hyacinth creates. And tribal villages who rely on crossing over water passageways have to figure out how they can get through these particular areas. It's just amazing at how quickly this type of weed can get out of control. It's like a lie. It's like deception. It's like sin. So on the one hand, I wanted to come up with some catchy kind of a title and say, let's just all get out there and reproduce like the hyacinth. But I thought that wasn't as appropriate as it should be. I thought, let's all get out there and grow as big as a pond. And I thought, well, that kind of misses the mark. So I think what I'll say is, let's just remember the hyacinth. Let's just remember the hyacinth. Lord, please bless your word this morning. I pray, God, that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive from you, that your Holy Spirit would deliver your heart's message this morning. Minister, meet our needs, whatever they might be, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and on and on. And even, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the Christian shared some of the ancestry, the genealogy that led us to Christ. And that genealogy can continue even to our own generation, to each and every one of us today. And so last week I was unable to be with you because I was in Beijing. And so I thought of you, I prayed for you, and I prayed God's blessings on you. And as we are now fully into this time of being a family that is thankful, I hope that you're continuing to participate in our social experiment or our church experiment, that you've remembered to be thankful and share your thankfulness. And in fact, as we look at this text, we can simply say, God, thank you for my heritage that I can trace all the way back, about your blessings that we're still able to experience today. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from your word. Thank you for your word that still speaks to us today and teaches us today. As we consider this text in Deuteronomy 30, we can see again that we have the opportunity to choose life and be a blessing. And I was thinking of that as well as our year theme for this church is to give ourselves away, is to empty ourselves and to follow after that heart's desire. And on that note about desires, every one of us, every single one of us longs for love, for value, for acceptance. It's a known fact that left alone without love and attention, a baby will become withdrawn and perhaps even die. That's so hard for a parent to even think about that. A parent who loves their child and cares about their child. But if you're that child who doesn't have a loving and caring parent, think about that poor little infant helpless baby without what it needs even to survive. Studies will show that left without human touch, babies will become withdrawn and suffer from emotional, physical, and even social deficiencies. If we withhold love, if we withhold value, if we withhold attention, if we withhold touch, it creates a horrible environment for babies. And I would contend to say that we could say babies of all ages, because we're all children in the family of God. Some may perform what they may refer to as a one-person play, right? A one-person act, as if they could say, but truly not live, "I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I don't care if anyone loves me. I don't care if anyone gives me attention or value or worth." But the human condition is such that we know that that is not true. Past the hard exterior, each and every person longs for intimacy and affection. And I dare that we find one psychologist that would argue with that. While in Kenya, we made several visits and took many guests to what is called the New Life Home in Nairobi. This home is a center of hope. It brings hope to orphan babies, much like Pastor Lee does with his ministry, and what we have an opportunity to participate in. And what we bring to you as family and opportunities to give ourselves away and to pass on the blessing, to keep the waterways open for the channels so that we continue to be a conduit of blessing in our world. This home and center brings hope to the orphan, the abandoned, and even the HIV-positive babies and children. There's a couple that started this home, and they learned that children's homes often refuse to accept infants if it was thought or believed that this child or this infant was HIV-positive, in the case that it might pass to other children. And these little children, these babies even, these infants were abandoned, thrown in dumpsters, thrown along the sides of the road, and they were just grieved by that and moved with compassion and felt that they had to do something. As a result of this kind of activity, most of these babies were being left at the medical facility's doorsteps, which was probably a better hopeful existence than being thrown in a dumpster. Maybe lying on rubber mattresses inside the medical facility, two or three to a cot, with only a cloth to cover them, if the facility even had that. Simply awaiting the final days of their lives with the minimum amount of care and compassion. And this couple was grieved by this reality. And their life and their family's life was radically changed in early 1993. And Calvin, I said, I think that's what you said, was the year you came to Seoul, right? Came to Korea. Their daughter, who is now giving voluntary time to a new children's home, brought to her mother, who was by profession a nurse and a midwife, a two-month-old abandoned baby boy weighing just over 2 kilograms. That's the equivalent of 4.41 pounds. She had found this little baby. She brought that little baby home to her parents. The children's home was unable to give the care the baby needed, and he would surely have died within a matter of hours had she not collected him. But during the next 2 months, this family saw that little boy steadily improve. And as time passed, the baby grew to be a healthy little boy and was eventually adopted by this very family. Having seen this miracle, Clive and Mary believed God wanted to bring this very kind of healing to other Kenyan babies and children in distress. I've met Clive and Mary and their family, and I've met that little boy who they named Clive Jr. And I can tell you, he was certainly healthy and active, like any normal boy would be. I've seen with my own eyes how some of these very babies that I've been referring to have been loved back to health. Are we loving people to health as members of Soul Union Church? Are we loving our own? And are we loving others? However, I've also seen with my own eyes the sad reality that disease, desperation, and death bring. During one of our visits to the New Life home, I asked if there was a main ingredient or one thing that could be attributed to the home's success. And without hesitation, upon asking that question, Mary herself responded back to me. She said, "It's love. Love. We love them. We love them." She wanted to say that they simply love the babies back to health. We hold them. We sing to them. We smile at them. We talk to them. We hug them. We love them. Do we do that with each other? With those that we work with, we go to school with, we ride the subway with, we sit next to at the restaurants or the libraries? I'm glad that we do. Love, as the Beatles sang, is the answer. I think the underlying current to this is they bless those babies. Unfortunately, research would tell us that in a crowd even this size, it's represented here today, there are those who suffer the same kind of lack that we're talking about, that we're referencing, was found in these even abandoned babies. Many long to be held, appropriately touched, smiled at, talked to, hugged, blessed by love. One morning, again in Nairobi, I happened to be at the home of a friend. It's a missionary. As a son and daughter were preparing to leave for school, I saw something that I'd never seen a father do before. I had never seen that or experienced that in my own life. But he called his son and daughter as they were preparing to walk out the door for their day at school. He called them over, and he prayed over them, and he blessed them. Just an ordinary day. He blessed them and asked for God's blessings and covering over their lives. And then he said something as he concluded his prayer. Greg finished it this way by saying, "I bless you in Jesus' name." That was so powerful for me. Not even a dad yet. Just married, only a few years. But to see a father passing on his blessing through the authority that God gives to fathers. And it's also why it's so important with the authority that God gives to your pastor to pass on blessing so that we experience life. I thought to myself, this is so profound. How profound this blessing is that comes from a father, that would come from a pastor to their church family, to those that they shepherd. Profound. As I looked into that, I went to Genesis 12 and verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3, it says this: "The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is so powerful because it shows God's favor in the blessing. Even Jesus, the Bible says, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all people, as we can see in Luke 2, verse 52. Look at what it says again then in Deuteronomy, this time in 28, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. "If you only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Wow! The blessings of God can overtake me? That's amazing. "If you obey word of God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Blessed shall you, your basket and your kneading bowl be. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, and in all that you undertake, he will bless you in the land that the Lord has, your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. God's desire is to show his favor to his children. God's desire is to show his favor and to bless us in order that we will continue to be a blessing. The saying goes, blessed to be a blessing. A personal and even a family prayer is God, continue to bless us so we can continue to bless others. Through our tithes and our offerings, our giving, our mission giving, our presence, our time, don't limit what God can do and how he can bless you and make you a greater blessing. For our purposes this morning, we'll not focus on the imperatives in Genesis that I read just a few moments ago. Rather, it is to consider Abram's obedient response to be a blessing. Now, we know that Abram was not perfect. My goodness, no, he wasn't. But I don't know anyone who is, myself included, except for Christ. In fact, Abram made some pretty big mistakes. However, through his obedience, he began a chain reaction of blessing. And as a result, even we sit here today as recipients of the blessing that Jesus is to the world. The blessing of God. It may not be possible to recapture the days of neglect that have passed, the failures and the shortcomings that perhaps have been experienced. Maybe even those days where blessings were withheld from us, whether you were an infant or a child or even up till today. However, we can learn how to pass along blessings to others and in turn, then even to ourselves. Husbands and wives, family members, friends, colleagues can all benefit from the warmth and the healing and the hope that can come through an application of blessing principles, of being blessed by others. And even maybe just the starting point is our church or social experience and experiment to be thankful people and share our appreciation and thankfulness. Smalley and Trent write of some blessing principles. There's five that I want to bring to your attention. Meaningful touch, and I would add meaningful appropriate touch. It's a message of significance that conveys in that meaningful appropriate touch is powerful. Two, spoken words. Words can build us up or they can tear us down. Let us choose our words wisely so that they bring life. Blessing in the Old Testament was not a blessing until it was spoken. Are you speaking blessing into the lives of others? Number three, where we express high value, where we assign significance or worth and importance to someone else. When might have been the last time you shared with someone that you value them? It's not an appreciation just for what they do. It's an appreciation for who they are. I value you. Number four, picturing a special future. It's where we build people up rather than tear them down with our words through the use of perhaps even visual images or descriptions, emphasizing what we would see to be strengths and values in a person's lives. Parents, this is an amazing opportunity we have to do with our own children. Where we share with them, I see you as someone who can be great at this. I see that God has gifted you with a heart of sensitivity that's so amazing. I'm so proud of you that you exercise the sensitivity that God has put in you. That's just one example that we could share. And number five, an active commitment. That is a commitment where we share our steadfastness and our loyalty with each other. I'm with you. I'm with you. We've all come up against opportunities where God has given us face to face that chance, that time to say, I'm with you. I don't have the answers. I don't have a magic pill, but I'm with you. I was meeting with someone just this last week, emotional and distraught over a work situation with her boss. Wow, there's a lot of that. And my heart goes out when I'm listening, sharing that time. And I said, you know, I said, I don't have the answers for it. Sometimes those why questions that you're asking, and there were many, God might just not need us to know those right now. Because remember, as I've said before, one of my why questions when we get to heaven, after all the other ones are exhausted, I'm gonna put in there, why did you create the mosquito? Right? And I'm still waiting for some scientist to come up to me and explain to me why the mosquito is necessary. But and I actually shared that in this little time and brought a little comic relief, which was good. It lightened things a bit and got a smile, you know, as the tears were being wiped away. But I said, look, we might not find out the answer to the why questions. But I want to encourage you that God isn't surprised by what might be a surprise to you. It didn't catch him off guard. Oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. God said never. Maybe in some way, and it seemed to take a good place with her, that it's okay because God knows. And sometimes that's as good as it's going to be today. It used to be that on most mornings I would leave my house and my kids would still be asleep. But I remembered the example from Greg. And I started to make it a point when they would wake up, if I was still home, that I would call them over and I'd take them in my arms and I'd pray for them. And I would end my prayer by saying, I bless you in Jesus' name. And confession time, two of my kids sitting right here, I've gotten kind of lazy. And Nicholas, I'm sorry because I haven't been doing that with you. At least I am doing it with you, so I'm, you know, one out of three. That's actually some pretty good percentage points for if you're a baseball player. But it's a lot more serious than baseball. Moms, dads, do you think that's something that we could do? I bless you in Jesus' name. What difference might that make with our kids? What difference might that make with our spouse? What difference might that make in our church? What difference might that make with our friends? What difference might that make with our co-workers, our superiors, our subordinates, our neighbors? Though I'm not perfect, and though I'm not consistent, even with my own kids, I still desire to be a blessing and to pass on blessing. My hope for each of us is that we too would consider a desire such as that. My hope for each of us is that we would experience and share a life of blessing. Like a hyacinth, in a productive sort of way. Let's get out there and reproduce the good, the blessing, the life that's found in Christ. Let's reproduce blessings upon blessings upon blessings. Let's pray. Lord, may each of us here today always hold fast to your love for us. May we live in your holy presence, recognizing our dependence upon you. May we walk with integrity and do works of righteousness. May we speak truth in our hearts and not slander with our lips, nor do wrong or seek revenge on others. May we despise lack of character, but value those who honor you. May we always keep our word for the good of others and not cheat or steal or rob from the life of another. Let us not use others' misfortune to our benefit or take bribes against the innocent. Lord, may we come to know your wisdom and instruction. May we discern the sayings of understanding. May we receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. May you, Lord, grant us prudence, knowledge, and discretion. May we truly listen and increase in learning, always seeking wise, godly counsel. May we come to understand the greatest of all your instructions available to us in your word, to love and value you with all of our heart. And in turn, to love and value others, and in fact, be a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name.